This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This week, tech geeks and business execs converged on Las Vegas for the International Consumer Electronics Show. And yes, a few show-offs arrived in self-driving cars. The frenzied masses were also treated to hydrogen-powered vehicles, drones, ultra-high-def TVs, internet-connected gas ranges, tea kettles, coffee makers, creepy humanoid robots, and of course, smartphones, smart fans, smart belts, smart rings, even a smart mirror. No reported Maxwell Smart. My next guest was at CES this week, and she's here to give us a few of her tech top picks. Lauren Good is a senior reviewer at Recode in San Francisco. She joins us from KQED there. Welcome to Science Friday, Lauren.
Hi, Ira. I guess since I'm not a business exec, I'd have to put myself in the category of tech geek, as you said earlier.
Proudly, you mean. Proudly put yourself.
Yes, of course.
Tell us, was this year all about the cars at the show?
It was, in fact. We've seen over the past few years the automakers really start to increase their presence at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, which is always a little bit surprising when you consider the fact that the International Auto Show takes place in just a couple weeks in Detroit, which is, of course, there. You know, it's the Super Bowl of the auto industry.
Right.
But the executives I spoke to from the auto companies said that CES has basically become a very important show for them as they begin to, you know, work with more technology companies and begin to integrate more and more technologies into their vehicles.
Now, so it wasn't just the fact that they had hydrogen fuel cars or electric cars. It was what was in the car or running the car.
That's correct. We saw lots of connected cars, as they're called. And this can really mean a few different things. In some cases, it means that, you have a connectivity between your smartphone and your dashboard and you're running apps and that sort of thing. In other cases, it might mean that you actually have wireless service in the vehicle. So a couple automakers such as Audi and GM have announced that they're working with AT&T to offer 4G or LTE wireless within the cars. And so that's sort of the connected car bucket. And then I think you're talking about autonomous vehicles when you say what is running the car. We also saw a few different autonomous or self-driving cars at the show this year, too. In fact, a bunch of lucky journalists got a ride from California to Las Vegas in a piloted Audi A7. We were not, unfortunately, part of that group at Recode, but I hear that it was a successful ride.
They got there in one piece. They walked away.
Unscathed.
Tell us what impressed you and what disappointed you at the fair.
About auto specifically
about
or the show?
About the show.
About everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I'll say this. I think that the car technology is genuinely very exciting. And some of it, of course, is many years off, and some of it is meant to just be shown off as a concept. And some of it's actually happening right now. We like to joke around and say, you know, the future is here. We've seen the future, and it's self-driving cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I generally find that kind of exciting. And, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of people are still driving cars. They still need cars, right? And so it sort of falls into that category for a lot of people as essential technology and essential advancements in technology. On the other hand, I guess one of the things that's more disappointing is at CES, you tend to see some copycat tech. You see Me Too wearables. You see, you know, the Internet of Things products that you're thinking, do I really need, you know, a smart baby bottle? How did our mothers ever raise us without these smart baby bottles? I'm not quite sure. And so you see like a lot of products that, you know, they seem a little frivolous in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
and so there's always a little bit of that.
One of the things you wrote about, was it frivolous, the smart mirror? Were you able to model a mustache in it?
The smart mirror, yes. I saw what I looked like with the mustache. It is not a good look. I will not be adopting that anytime soon. But Panasonic has shown off a smart mirror, which basically there are cameras embedded in the mirror, and they take a picture of you as you're looking in the mirror and then project your image on top of your reflection. And you can apply different looks in regards to makeup and hairstyles and facial hair to your face as you're looking in the mirror. And this is just a concept. Panasonic has made it very clear clear that they don't have a ship date for this. They don't have a price point for this. And it's a little bit kitschy, to be quite honest. I played with it for a while. In fact, I shot a video of it on our site. But it was still pretty cool. You know, at the end of the day, you look at something like that, and it's easy to see, well, why don't, at some point, all the mirrors in our home could potentially have some type of, you know, additional display, or they're connected to something, or they're showing us different imagery from what we would normally see.
But you could use the camera on your laptop, right, to do the same thing on your...
It's easy enough to see how that type of technology could very much work in other environments. Yeah. Yes.
Let's talk about TVs. We've had curved screens, 4K. There was, wasn't 3D TV introduced a year or so ago? I mean... What has
3D happened? TV was actually a big push around 3D TV was made a few years ago, and it didn't quite catch on, I think, the way that TV makers were hoping that it might. And so now when we see 3D technology in TV sets, it's generally an ancillary feature. It's not the main event, but you're looking at smart TVs. You're looking at these really beautiful UHD or 4K TVs. And then, oh, by the way, it happens to have some 3D technology in it. So that's the way that the marketing has sort of changed over the past couple of years. I would say in TVs, the focus this year was definitely 4K, Ultra HD. Samsung even introduced TV sets they're calling SUHD, which is just their way of branding it.
Is it that? I was very impressed with it because I saw it in the stores and it just was gorgeous, I have to say.
Okay. Are you going to buy one?
No.
For this year?
Good question. If I were buying one, I would wait for a 4K to come down in price a little bit.
Come down in price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They definitely are. They're coming down in price quite a bit. Sometimes you're sacrificing size and sometimes you're sacrificing processing power when you start to get into some of the lower end 4K models. I think the thing to remember is, I mean, the TV makers really threw out a lot of terms this week around new TV sets. In fact, I like to joke that you need an advanced degree in quantum optics to really understand what some of the things they're saying mean, whether it's quantum dot technology, nanocrystals, HDR, high dynamic range imaging, prime color. And basically what it all comes down to is the different TV makers, Samsung, LG, Sony, and others are all working on their own sort of, they're taking their unique approaches to how do we better the color? How do we better the contrast? How do we sell more TVs?
Yeah. You checked out something I think, which is really something you could use, facial recognition on home security systems.
Yes. Yes. There were a couple cameras that were announced this week, and there may have been more as well, that are now using facial recognition technology in the videos and basically in the software that they're using to monitor your home. So Dropcam, of course, which is now owned by Nest, which is now owned by Google, has gotten a lot of attention over the past couple of years as being a really sort of simplified, accessible home video system. And there were a couple of cameras announced this week, the Simplicam and the Netatmo Welcome, that are saying they're going to add facial recognition technology to that. So now, instead of just remotely monitoring your home from afar and seeing, okay, you know, the cleaning person arrived, or this is my dog ate the couch again, right? Now you can actually store data about the people moving in and out of your house throughout the day, on the camera. Mm-hmm. And then if an anomaly sort of pops up where it's someone that the camera doesn't recognize, you can be notified. Now, of course, there are privacy concerns that come with something like this. But I think that it's sort of an interesting approach to the whole idea of home security and home monitoring.
Were there drones everywhere, or was that something you didn't see much?
There were a lot of drones. I personally did not get to fly any drones. There's only so much time when you're trying to play with thousands of gadgets in 5 days. But yes, there were a lot of drones. I think drones, they're growing in popularity, but they are, and they're getting a lot of attention. But I still see them somewhat as a niche product right now. And I think that they're sort of wildly divergent in what you're getting with a drone. You're either buying one that's $1,000 to $3,000, and this is really high-powered, sort of cool machine, right? Or you're looking at something that's maybe in the $100 to $300 price range, or that's really considered more of an entry-level drone for people that are just trying to get their feet wet and figure out if this is something they're actually going to use.
Do you think we're going to see all these trade fairs melding together as sort of, well, you know, you said that there are more cars there than in Detroit, as sort of the Internet of Thing fair or the smart something fair or something, you know, where they're all going to be electronically controlled.
There is a lot of convergence. In fact, I heard someone say at the show this year, and I think it makes sense, everything's a technology conference now. Whether you're going to an auto conference, whether you're going to a home conference, if you go to health conferences now, generally there's a lot of talk about digital health. And technology is just, it's really pervasive, and it really has taken over many facets of our lives. And so I think the CES, it has a good chance of always being the world's largest electronic show, for sure. But I think that you're going to see a lot of the themes we saw this week start to pop up in a lot of other places as well.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way to predict what's going to be hot next, in the next electronic show or later in the year? People buzzing about
Well, we're that still, yet? I don't know about the electronic shows, but we are still waiting to see the Apple Watch launched, I should say. It was announced in September. And I think that people are going to be really excited to see what that brings to the smartwatch market.
Were there many smartwatches at the show? Other brand
there were
names?
A yeah. lot of smartwatches and a lot of activity trackers, for sure. But some of them, in my opinion, are sort of making incremental or iterative improvements over previous models that we've seen. Some of the companies will say that their algorithms or their software is better. So as they're tracking your data, they're doing different or, more helpful things with it. I think that still has yet to be proven.
Do you have a smartwatch? Right now, you wearing?
I don't own a smartwatch right now. I recently tested one called the Withings Activité, which was really more of like an activity tracker, but in this beautiful Swiss-made watch form factor. And I actually enjoyed testing that because it was the first watch in a long time I tested that didn't feel like a total geek watch. I often wear activity trackers. I'm wearing a Fitbit right now. I had a crazy amount of steps this week as I was walking around Vegas, so I really wanted to be able to track that. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what this new year will bring in terms of the smartwatch category.
I will be watching it with you, Lauren. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Good luck to you.
Thanks so much.
Hope you recover soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Lauren Good, senior reviewer at Recode in San Francisco.